Beloved radio friends, we greet you again in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the continued study of the Word of God in the book of Exodus. And the intriguing incident that we are now considering in the fourth chapter, when to Moses, God's servant of long ago, God manifested three remarkable and miraculous signs in order to prove to the people of Israel that God had divinely commissioned his servant to be their leader and deliverer, to take them out of Egypt from the bondage of Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, we have the three signs recorded: the sign of the rod, the sign of the hand in the bosom, and the sign of water turned into blood. We have touched upon the first two, finding that the sign of the rod was the symbol of God's dominion, the rod that would be in the hand of Moses to manifest divine power and divine authority to bring his people out of Egypt. We noted in his great antitype, it illustrates the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. Greater than a deliverance from one nation, from one empire, is the delivering power of the gospel of our Savior to take men and women, to take boys and girls and deliver them out of the power of Satan and from the dominion of this world's authority. It's a grand thing to be saved. And may I say, my fellow friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has power to take you out of the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of his light. He is the only one who has power to translate you from the kingdom of Satan and place you into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Where are you today? To which kingdom do you belong? We also noted the hand in the bosom, reminded us of the Holy Spirit's work and his power to make real to the believing heart, to do the work of redemption in the soul of a sinner, and to apply the redeeming blood of our Savior to purge that soul from sin and guilt. Peter, let me quote again in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, declared to the believers to whom he wrote, "Seeing then ye have purified your souls." Now you read the context of that verse if you wish. At the end of 1 Peter chapter 1, and you'll find how they got their souls purified. They were washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus by believing the gospel, the good news of Christ's redemption for all mankind. And my sinner friend, if your soul is sin-sick and stained with sin, what can wash away your stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We come to the third sign in our lesson today. Water being turned into blood. May I read, if I may, beginning at verse 8, reading down through verse 9 of Exodus chapter 4. After the first two signs have been indicated, God says to Moses, "It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the second or the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Beloved, the third sign, what does it symbolize? The Nile, the River Nile, was the very life of Egypt. And yet, by God, it becomes the sign of death. The life of Egypt was the Nile, materially speaking. And in fact, may I remind you, as we have seen in Exodus 1, that river Nile was intended by Pharaoh to be the death of Moses and to be the death of Israel. For every firstborn son of the Israelites was commanded by Pharaoh to be cast into the river Nile to the crocodiles. And there you see the true character of the world. I want to tell you frankly, as far as the world is concerned, you can go to hell. And the God of this world, his only desire is to send you to hell and take you there if you'll follow him. And yet God uses this river Nile for the third sign. And it's the symbol that if any man or woman rejects God's deliverance, there's nothing left for them but divine judgment. For as Moses was told, if they refuse those first two signs, and they will not listen to your voice, you just take some water out of that river, pour it upon the dry land, and that water which you take out of the river will become blood upon the dry land. Now this blood was not the symbol of cleansing. This blood was the symbol of judgment, divine judgment that was inevitable. Oh, my beloved, may I remind you of what the gospel says? For this is the great story of the gospel that we are emphasizing in these wonderful truths and types that are found long ago in the history of Israel. When Paul preached the gospel in the city of Antioch in Pisidia, in chapter 13 of the book of the Acts, he preached unto them Christ, and he said, by this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe are justified through him, by which they could never be justified by the law of Moses. And then he went on to tell them, but beware, beware. If you refuse that man, there's nothing left for you but judgment and wrath. Beware lest his wrath come upon you. And my beloved, may I say that according to the word of God, Christ rejecters, worldwide rejecters of Christ will inevitably come under the wrath of God in that day of his judgment that is yet to come. May I quote the words of the Lord Jesus in John 3 and verse 36? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My beloved, I can only say with authority, just as Moses was given divine authority, I have the same divine authority from the Word of God to tell you if you refuse Christ, you're going to hell and your judgment will be inevitable. Paul, writing to the Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27, said so faithfully, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. My beloved, let me reemphasize, I wish I could awaken and rouse the conscience and souls and hearts of men and women and boys and girls. There's a day of judgment coming. And in that day of judgment, all who have rejected God's divine grace and redemption that is provided so perfectly, so freely in Christ through his death upon the cross, there's nothing left for them but judgment. My beloved, you need Christ if you're not saved. For I read concerning those who trust Christ, there is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. How precious! The believer can say, there is no judgment, there is no hell for me. The fire and the torment mine eyes shall never see. The words of the Lord Jesus are so clearly indicated in John chapter 5 and verse 24 when he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. My beloved, listen. Just as clearly as God presented these three signs of divine intervention for his earthly people Israel long ago through Moses, clearly indicating He had come down to save them, to deliver them out of the bondage of Pharaoh, from the oppression of the Egyptians, to take them out, to bring them up, and bring them unto the land of his promise. My beloved, may I tell you frankly, with joy, God wants to save you and deliver you out of this world and from the judgment of your sins and take you up to heaven. Now, it's just a simple thing like this. You either go up to heaven or you go down to hell. There's one sure thing, you're not going to stay in the middle anywhere. You're either on the way up or you're on the way down. And at the end, you'll either land up or you'll land down. But the responsibility is set before you. What will you do with what God has done for you through Christ? Will you receive Christ as your Savior? We saw that he was the mighty conqueror who took the consequences of our sins, who took the devil by the tail, so to speak, figuratively, and annulled his power and brought deliverance available for every man, woman, boy, and girl who will trust him as their Savior. My beloved, Christ can save you today. But if you reject him, beware, lest there be wrath, and he take thee away at his one stroke, even his stroke. My beloved, may I plead earnestly? I don't know when the day of judgment's coming, but I know it's near for the whole world. But are you ready to meet it? Rock of ages, cleft for me, wrote the poet. Let me hide myself in thee. Yes, my friend, Christ alone can save you. He will deliver you from Satan's power. He will keep you when he's delivered you and redeemed you. He will bring you up. He will bring you unto the haven of glory above. You know I'm glad I'm saved. My beloved friend, here are the three signs. The sign of the rod, the sign of the hand in the bosom, the sign of water done in the blood. Think them through very carefully. They bring the great gospel story in a vivid way. Now, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? I pray earnestly that not one listener to my voice will be found in hell. You don't have to go there. Come to the Savior now. Oh, Father, may someone say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, for his name's sake, amen.